A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 14. Arue. Din stared at Fett, thrown off by the look on his face. I've never seen him look like that, Din thought. Two instincts flared at once. Din had to resist the urge to submit, to crash to his knees or to roll over and show his belly like a loth wolf surprised by its alpha, and the urge to throw a punch in preemptive self-defense. He locked his knees and stayed upright. To be fair, Din didn't see Fett's face that often, especially when Fett was working. Fett had embraced the role of the faceless, looming king, comfortable on his throne, inscrutable and impossible to read, which meant that for most of the day, Fett had his helmet on, just like Din did. But Din was getting to know Fett by now. Din did know Fett. He knew how Fett stood and how he sounded, even with his helmet on, and he'd never seen Fett stand or sound like this. Nervousness prickled underneath Din's skin. He tried to school his own expression into the serene blankness he'd seen in the holocron on Kenobi and Jin and Dooku while they demonstrated their forms, but he wasn't sure he managed it. Watching his own expression wasn't something that Din had ever had to worry about, not until recently, and he wasn't sure if he'd gotten it right. Fett's words rang in Din's ears. "How did you get that open?" "It's a puzzle box," Din said, as evenly as he could. "I used to play with boxes like it when I was young, before the covert. It took me a while to remember how to open one, how to do it right, but with the sun..." Din trailed off, not sure why he felt so defensive. It was just a toy, really. A game for Jedi kids to play, something to learn from. Fett was staring at the holocron like it was the face of his worst enemy. Din fought the urge to step in front of it, to protect it. "It's just a box with some old recordings," Din told himself, uneasy. "It doesn't need protection." "I saw how it fit together in the sun," Din made himself continue. "How the pieces worked. I just solved it, I guess. It's just a bunch of recordings. Jedi teaching lightsaber forms to younglings." "That," said Fett lowly, jabbing a finger at the recording, "is no Jedi." On the holocron, Dooku was still gliding in midair, his movements smooth and unhurried. Din frowned. "Dooku? He said that he was. He said that he is... was a master of the Jedi Order. They're all Jedi. At least," Din corrected, thinking of Tano as she'd been when he met her in the gray forests outside Caladan. "They were Jedi. I think this holocron was made before the Empire took over, before the purges." The expression Fett aimed at Din was sharp and thunderous. It made Din want to shy away. Din resisted the urge, spreading his feet. He lifted his chin, feeling oddly protective, oddly fierce. "It's just a recording," he thought. Din didn't understand why Fett was so upset about it. "Who else is on it?" Fett asked, tone cutting. That made Din stand up even straighter, irritation bubbling up underneath his confusion, underneath the urge to let Fett have his way. Din didn't understand. Fett had given Din the holocron. He'd passed it off as a gift, a treat for Din to then pass on to Grogu when he saw the kid again. "Why is he so angry that I figured out how to make it work?" "A Jedi apprentice named Ahsoka Tano," Din said, his own voice going sharp and hard. "And a few others. It's a record of a lineage, a family. Anakin Skywalker's on here. Obi-Wan Kenobi." Fett stared at Din for a second, his attention finally pulled away from the holocron. And then he laughed. The sound of it wasn't the warm, deep chuckle Din had started to become familiar with, had started to like hearing if Din was being honest with himself, but was rough and bitter. The sound of Fett's laugh spoke of pain. "Of course," Fett said, with so much bitterness in his tone that Din did take an involuntary step sideways, putting himself between Fett and the holocron. The Darksaber crackled in his hand. "You knew them, then," Din said, as neutrally as he could manage. He might have guessed. Fett had said that he'd met Jedi before. "Dooku was no Jedi," Fett spat. "He was a Sith." Din paused. "Sith. He'd heard that before." Fett said it, he realized. When Skywalker was upset and worried about Grogu, Fett had worried that the Jedi would brand Grogu a Sith. He'd told Din to bring Grogu back to Tatooine if the Jedi had. "I don't know what a Sith is," Din admitted. "It's an evil Jedi, right? I've heard it a few times now." "What is it? What does Sith mean?" The word didn't sound Mandalorian. The words Fett had been teaching Din had been hard words, sharp words, words that cut and moved through the air like a blade. Sith was a soft word, a hissing word. Din's question made Fett falter, some of the black look in his eyes graying out, fading away. "You don't know what a Sith is." Din shook his head. He hadn't ever hunted a Sith. Fett blew out a noisy breath. "A Sith is a Rue," he finally said. Din cocked his head. "An outsider?" He knew Aruetise, outsiders, them. There was the covert, which was the tribe, the clan, and then there was Aruetise, everyone else. Enemies and outsiders, even allies who weren't part of the covert, who weren't Mandalorians. "An enemy," Fett clarified. "Darjeti." That was a Mandalorian word. Darjeti like Darmanda. On the holocron, Dooku was still gliding through forms, as graceful as an anaconda or a colaclaw fish. Something cold and predatory clear in Dooku's face, even through the distortion of an old recording. "Our enemy?" Din asked. Mandalorians, Din was learning, had a lot of enemies. The Empire, the Jedi, each other. Fett rolled his shoulders, still watching Dooku move through his forms. "I knew him," Fett said instead of answering Din's question. His tone had softened some, the edge of it blunted out. "Met him a few times. I was just a kid, but even then, I knew Dooku was Borkish. My father never let me be alone with him." "What is a Sith?" Din pressed. Fett looked at him. "Vader was a Sith," he said. Din frowned, more confused than ever. "But you worked for Vader, didn't you? Took jobs for him?" How could someone Fett had worked for be an enemy? Din supposed he'd had his fair share of employers turn on him, but they hadn't been enemies, just beings with goals different than Din's. Except for the imps, Din thought. The Imperials had been Din's enemy, even as they'd been handing him Beskar. The corner of Fett's mouth turned up in a humorless smile. "I did," Fett said. "I took jobs for Vader whenever he could afford me. Just as my father took jobs for Dooku when he could pay. I should have learned my lesson from my father." "What do you mean?" Din asked. Fett looked at Din, and Din knew. "My father died," said Fett anyway, his tone flat and hard, a lifeless thing. "In Dooku's service. In Dooku's war." "Oh," said Din. "A Jedi killed my father," Fett continued, turning his focus back on the holocron. Dooku had finished his demonstration now, and the holo had flickered over to Obi-Wan Kenobi. "The Sith were, don't think there are any left, with Vader dead, the Jedi's enemies. Because my father was working for the Sith, that made the Jedi his enemies, too. He got into a fight he couldn't win on Dooku's orders." "The Sith used the dark side of the Force," Din realized, fitting the pieces together. "That's what Skywalker was worried Grogu could become if Grogu didn't learn to use the Force the right way. Skywalker was worried that Grogu could become a Sith, An enemy, Din thought, committing the word to memory. Arue. Kenobi was there, Fett said. He watched the Jedi demonstrate a high and low block. His eyes were black and unreadable. Probably not long after he recorded this, he looks the same as I remember him. You knew Kenobi, too. My father was hired to kill a Republic senator before the Clone Wars started, said Fett. Kenobi got in the way. He saved the target and tracked my father back to Kamino, where we lived. We thought we killed him in an asteroid field, but Kenobi was there on Geonosis with Dooku. The rest of the Jedi came to Geonosis to save Kenobi. Din watched Kenobi move for a second or two. Who killed your father? Din asked quietly. A Jedi named Mace Windu. Din let himself relax incrementally. There was no Mace Windu on the holocron. Whatever Fett had seen, whatever had upset him, at least his father's killer wasn't stored in the odd little object, preserved for anyone clever enough to figure out how to turn the mechanism and get the holocron open. Is Mace Windu dead? Din asked. He hadn't met a Windu on Yavin 4. Yes, said Fett. Did you kill him? Fett's mouth twisted again. No, he said. Tried to, but I was just a kid. Didn't have half the skill I have now, and I was angry. It made me sloppy. Windu, I could never find the records to back it up, but he was highly ranked in the Jedi Order. And I never saw his name go out on any of the Empire's lists. The Gar killed the Jedi Masters first. Windu died in the first purge, I think. Din could only nod, unsure what he could say. Revenge was a private thing, an unspoken contract. If Din hadn't been able to get the kid back from Moff Gideon, or if Gideon had killed the kid or hurt him beyond Din's ability to help, Din would have been obligated to seek revenge. It would have been a debt of honor. The murder of a parent was a debt of honor. Niseta, Din finally murmured. Because it was true, he was sorry. Sorry that Fett had lost his father, sorry that he'd lost his vengeance, sorry that the Jedi had played their part in both. Din didn't know what else to say. Fett finally looked away from the holocron, meeting Din's eyes instead. The darksaber, still lit, hummed in Din's hand. You said you opened it like it was a puzzle box? Fett finally asked, packing his anger away with enormous effort. Tension still lined his mouth. Din nodded. He deactivated the darksaber. Kenobi was still talking, enumerating the finer points of battle philosophy, and Fett's expression was wavering, like Fett couldn't decide whether to be angry or not. What were they like? Din asked, impulsively, catching Fett's attention again. Who? Any of them, Din said, waving a hand. The Jedi? The Sith? I've only met Jedi, and they're... different, Din finished, catching himself before he said, like us. Skywalker's Jedi weren't that different from Mandalorians, at least not the Mandalorians Din had grown up with, the kind of Mandalorian he'd tried to be. Whatever had happened to the Jedi who lived on Yavin 4, the purges running from the Empire, living in hiding, had made them act like a covert. The Jedi Din knew were furtive and sly, good-natured enough but used to living hard, to fighting. Skywalker might have had his qualms about teaching the younglings the skills they'd need to survive, but the older Jedi, Cal Kestis, Chase Piru, Kukruk, and even Skywalker himself, had all killed to survive. They knew what they might have to do if a hunter came for them or the children in their care. Din didn't think that Fett would appreciate the comparison, though, so he pushed the thought aside. It wouldn't be very helpful, especially not now that Fett had named both the Jedi and the Sith his enemies. I only really knew Vader, Fett finally said. He was efficient. He was the only one I knew as a grown man. The others, I met Dooku a few times when I was a kid. I think my father tried to keep me away from him, or him away from me. By the time I was grown, most of the Jedi were dead, but Vader was smart, ruthless. He had a temper, but he also knew how to run a war, a ship, a job. Fett trailed off, tilting his head. You ever seen a vine tiger? Din shook his head. Never spent much time on Naboo, he said. Naboo had been too close to the core, to the Empire, and had largely been peaceful anyway. There hadn't been enough work there to draw Din in from the Outer Rim. Fett almost smiled. The point of a vine tiger is that you don't see it, he explained. They're massive things, but if they don't want you to see them, you don't. They can blend into their surroundings so well, move so quietly, that you don't know that they're on you until you've got their teeth in your throat. You don't see them, but they always, always see you. Din suppressed a shudder. He'd been hunted before. It was never a pleasant experience. Vader was like that, said Fett. He was a big man, or a big humanoid at least. I never saw him without his mask on to know if he was human for sure. And you could notice him coming well enough, unless he didn't want you to see him. If he didn't want you to notice him, you just didn't. But Vader always knew where everyone was in a room. He knew what you were thinking, what you'd do before you did it. Unease prickled down the back of Din's neck. Through the Force? Fett shrugged. I've never been too clear on what the Force is, he admitted. Just that the Jedi could use it. Relied on it. Too much, my father said. And that the Sith could use it too. But that was Vader. A vine tiger, always hunting. And he liked to play with his food. And Dooku? My father was afraid of him, Fett said. He offered the truth candidly, which told Din that Dooku, that the Sith, really were something to be afraid of. Fett talked about his father like his father had hung the stars in the sky himself. I was scared of Dooku, too. He was... You'd be in a room with him and you'd feel it. Feel what? That Dooku was different, said Fett after a moment. That he wasn't like a normal man. That he could kill you without raising a hand, with only a thought. That he would kill you if you annoyed him badly enough. Din thought of the man on the holocron, severe and serene, but certainly not frightening. Something must have changed when Dooku had stopped being a Jedi and had started being a Sith instead. Din wondered what that was like. Was it like breaking the creed? Was a Sith made the same way Din had become Darmanda? He didn't like how similar the words Darjeti and Darmanda were. Din's skin prickled. I'm not a Sith, Din thought. I'm not evil. I broke the creed to save Grogu. It wasn't to break the creed for its own sake. Did you know Kenobi? Din asked, attempting to shift the conversation away from Vader and Dooku and Fett's father. Kenobi had never been a Sith, Din was pretty sure. He'd heard the name a few times now, and only in the context of Kenobi being a Jedi. Fett snorted. I met him once, he said. He fought well, for a Jedi. Didn't pull his punches. He outsmarted me and my dad, which wasn't easy. My father was an old warrior by then, hard to trick or surprised. Kenobi survived us, but ended up caught by Dooku just before the war started. What was Kenobi like? Din asked. Why do you care? Din ignored the sharp edge in Fett's voice and shrugged. Just curious, he said. My kid's gonna be a Jedi. I'm trying to figure out what that means, I guess. Fett eyed Din for a minute, but relented. Kenobi was as much a Jedi as they came, he grumbled. Sanctimonious and self-righteous, but a cunning warrior. He and the other one, Skywalker, were everywhere during the Clone Wars. I think Kenobi even served on Mandalore briefly. Skywalker's on here too, Din said, watching the holocron again. It's a training tool, a record of combat forms. Each form has a different Jedi to demonstrate. So you thought you'd crack it open and give it a try? Something in Fett's tone made Din want to flinch. He tried not to show it. I never learned Parkhad, Din said. He curled his fingers over the hilt of the darksaber. I've got this now, and no one else seems to want it, so I probably should know how to use it, right? Vibro-knives are dangerous enough. This thing is pure plasma. Swinging it around without any idea of what I'm doing seems like a bad idea. Fett snorted again, eyeing the deactivated weapon in Din's hand with open dislike. You're keeping it, then. Din didn't understand. No one else will take it, he said. Here. He held the darksaber out to Fett, hilt first. Wanna try? Could make for an interesting spar once I know what I'm doing. Fett looked at the darksaber, dark and quiet in Din's hand, then back at Din. His expression finally softened. No, he said gruffly. It's yours. I'm too old to pick up new tricks. And you should be careful about who you offer that thing to. Din rolled his eyes at that. No Mandalorian was too old to pick up new tricks, especially if said new trick gave them new and interesting ways to dismember their enemies. But he didn't push it. He bent and scooped up the holocron, grabbing the corner he twisted to open it in the first place. Din twisted it back, and the holocron snapped closed, all of its pieces pulling together again. Kenobi's form and voice cut out, the light inside dimmed. Din tucked the holocron close. He still felt the urge to apologize. Somehow, Din had offended Fett. Din wasn't sure how. If Fett didn't want the darksaber, if Kenobi wasn't the Jedi who had killed his father. But Din had, and the urge to make up for it thumped against Din's ribs, a faint, prickling sense of anxiety. I won't train with it here, Din finally said, aiming at the only thing he could do to appease Fett, to make up for what he'd done, without offering his back for a flogger. They weren't in Fett's rooms. It was daylight. Fett was probably here for business. For work, not anything else. Fett sighed. Train with it if you want, he said. Just be careful. Jedi artifacts fetch a lot of clank, especially ones that work. Don't let anybody else see that you figured out how to turn that thing on. Din nodded seriously. He'd give the holocron to Skywalker the next time Din was on Yavin 4. It belonged with the Jedi anyway. Then Din shook his head a little to clear it, to order everything he just learned, and made himself refocus. Fett had come here for a reason. He'd been looking for Din. Din looked at Fett expectantly. Well, he said. Fett's expression finally cleared all the way, whatever ghosts or bad memories Din had unintentionally revived pushed to the side for now. I wanted to get more details from you about your time out in the desert and with Vance people, Fett said, still gruff. We were busy yesterday. If that was a reference to what had happened up in Fett's rooms, Din was determined not to rise to the bait. The little bruises on his chest and belly throbbed, entirely unhelpful. Details, Din said firmly, casting around. He did have a small table and a few chairs shoved up against the wall, so he gestured Fett over. Din sat first. Fett pulled his own chair out and set it a little ways away from the table so he could prop up one of his knees. Din sat too and gave his report in as much detail as he could remember, starting with his days out in the sands and ending with his time in Mos Pelgo. He withheld the information about another covert in Mos Entha. That wasn't Fett's business, not yet, and Din wanted to wait until he'd given a full report of Fett's business before getting into his own. Vanth mentioned any trouble? Fett asked once Din had finished. None close enough to worry him, Din replied. He said the scouts have seen others in the desert, but no one's tried to get close enough for the Tuskens to start playing target practice. Fett made a thoughtful noise. I'll have Ashek put a few warriors out on patrol, he said. If Ashek's willing, anyway. He seemed to be, Din said, tapping his fingers against one of his thigh guards while he thought about it. He's certainly fast enough. I've never met a tribe that would use a speeder. Fett smiled faintly. Ashek is forward-thinking, he said. The old chief wouldn't. A real raider he was. A nightmare out of every Guira's imagination. But Ashek's got the right idea. There's not much place for the old ways left in the galaxy. Something pricked in the back of Din's memory. He'd heard that before. He frowned, trying to place it, but it slipped through his fingers. So the spotted Anubar set, Fett continued. He was looking up, his eyes moving as Fett tracked down his own matters of interest. Ashek's agreed to ally with us, and the operation in Mos Pelgo's going well. How's Vanth? Still skittish? Watchful, Din corrected, which made Fett chuckle. Everything seems to be going well for them. Good, said Fett, pleased. I've got half a dozen settler towns just like it that are watching, thinking to cut deals of their own. Should be a lucrative few weeks here. Din nodded. He hesitated. This time, Fett did catch it, his gaze sharpened like the edge of a knife. Anything else? Fett asked. Din still hesitated. He'd promised Fett honesty on his knees, but Fett had been very clear. Din only owed Fett honesty when they were in Fett's rooms together, discussing pain. But Din was an honest person by nature, even if the truth was unpleasant, and he'd already upset Fett once today. What's it gonna hurt to upset him again? Din wondered, wry and resigned, and threw caution to the wind. He might as well get it all out of the way all at once, like ripping off an old bacta patch. I think, Din said, choosing his words slowly, that there are other Mandalorians here, on Tatooine. Fett went still. Yeah? Din nodded. I've seen Beskar in the distance, he said. Twice now. The first time I thought it was a mirage. It was in the canyons when I was hunting Shalto. The second time was at night, though. In the Dunsi? Din nodded again. Ashek told me that he's heard rumors, Din added. Whispers of beings that look like us, in armor. Fett narrowed his eyes. I haven't, he said. Where? Mos Entha. It explains why I've heard Karkol, Fett grumbled, shaking his head. I can't get any eyes or ears in Mos Entha. Valerian runs a tight operation. No one talks. Do you think they're working for Valerian? Din asked. He didn't really want an answer. If the other covert was working for Valerian, they would be Fett's enemies. Din was pretty sure by now that that would make them his enemies, too. Din was both Fett's ally and Darmanda. The other tribe, if they were working for Valerian, would have two reasons to kill him, which was one more reason than any Mandalorian usually needed. But Fett shook his head, and Din had to fight back a wave of relief so strong it made his throat ache. No, said Fett. That I would have heard about. That sort of thing. A whole band of Mandalorians, going on the account, makes noise. You made noise in your one warrior. A skilled warrior, Fett added, as if stating the truth had wounded Din's pride, which it hadn't. But just one, Din agreed. Will she hire them, if she's looking to muscle you out? The thing is, I don't know if she is, Fett said. He leaned back. He'd taken the news of other Mandalorians well, better than Din had expected. Fennec's picked out a few of Valerian's spies, but the ones she's found haven't been doing anything but watching, listening. All the attacks we've had have come from the huts. You think Valerian's gonna leave you alone? I wouldn't go that far, Fett said. But she was the Hutt's enemy, not mine. She's not ever going to be my friend, but she might be Naru Dad. Din cocked his head. My enemy's enemy, Fett said, back to watching Din. An ally until our mutual enemy is dealt with. And she won't hire out a Mandalorian, I don't think. Valerian's suspicious. She trusts her own people. That's it. So what's a covert doing in Mos Entha if not working for her? Din wondered, more to himself. Fett obviously hadn't grown up in a covert like Din had. Fett probably didn't know much about how one operated. Fett shrugged. There's always other bosses, he said. Valerian's got the crate sheriff business in Mos Entha, in that whole quadrant, really. But there's always small-time operations, always someone offering credits in exchange for good work. Din steadied himself with a deep breath and said, I'm going to go to Mos Entha to look for them. Fett's gaze finally flickered. You're asking permission? Din made himself shake his head. Fett was an Alor, but not his Alor. This was something Din had to do. No, Din said. I'm going. But I didn't want you to think that I disappeared. Something in Fett's eyes closed off. Other Mandalorians, he growled. Gonna recruit them for Kryze, then? Drag them into her war? Din pulled back, startled by the sudden venom in Fett's voice. Kreese is... No. Gonna spill all my secrets? Tell them I still have the armor? The expression on Fett's face was so violently dark that Din took a full step away from him, instinctively clearing enough room for himself to react if Fett lunged. Fett noticed, and Din thought that he saw shame flicker across Fett's face, but it was just a flicker. Fett set his expression in an ugly, dragonish scowl. I won't have them here, Fett snarled. I won't have them in this quadrant. If you go... I am going, Din cut in, planting his feet. Not to recruit them, not to steal your armor, either. The fact that Fett thought that Din was that dishonorable cut Din to the bone. It's yours. You told me that. It's your father's. I wouldn't steal it, and I wouldn't drag the rest of my tribe into stealing it either. They're my people. I need to make sure they're all right. Your people, Fett spat. His hands were curled tightly. Din didn't know what to do. Instinct told Din to manage the threat, to subdue Fett, to punch him or get him in a Kashyyyki sleeper hold, but Din didn't want to hurt Fett. He hadn't wanted to hurt Fett at all, but this had upset him. My people, Din returned, firmly. Din had taken care of the covert for years. He couldn't live among them anymore, but he could at least make sure they were all right. Could try to find out who'd survived the Empire's retaliation on Nevarro. There was no law prohibiting that, at least. Fett looked Din up and down, white with rage, and then turned on his heel and stalked out of the room without another word, shoulders shaking with anger. He threw a violent hand out over the lift pad and vanished in a swirl of black, the lift doors closing. Din stared after him, shocked. What? He thought. The Kark was that. He'd known that Fett wouldn't be happy about another covert camped in Mos Entha, but Din had thought that it would just be a matter of competitors, maybe a safety concern. Mandalorians were competent hunters and fighters, after all, and if Valerian wanted to, she could put a bounty on Fett and send the covert's best after him. But Fett hadn't been worried about that. He'd been worried about... What? Din thought, bewildered. Now that the threat had passed, his stance wavered. About me betraying him? Why would he think that? Din had given Fett good service. He'd given everyone good service. That was his honor as Baroya. Do the job, do it well, don't betray your employers. Lessons he'd learned from childhood. The only employer he'd ever deliberately betrayed was the Imperial on Nevarro, and that hadn't been a direct betrayal. Din had, after all, fulfilled his contract first. But Fett and I, we don't have a formal contract. They had the agreement Din had made on his knees weeks ago, but that was different, personal. They'd never made a formal contract over business. Fett just kept giving Din jobs, and Din just kept taking them. I wouldn't betray him, though. If Fett was concerned that Din would, why hasn't he said anything? Why hadn't he made Din take a contract? Because he thinks I'm his friend, Din realized, heart sinking. He had miscalculated. Din was Fett's friend. He was in deep enough to admit that now. But Din wasn't sure he'd ever said as much to Fett directly. He'd allowed Fett to care for him, to give him a ship and clothes and a roof over his head, but he'd been careful to keep distance between Fett and himself. To be Fett's warrior, his hunter, unless they'd been up in Fett's rooms. That was different from friendship, too. Din didn't know what that was, but he knew it was more than friendship, or at least that it was different. He pinched the bridge of his nose, upset with himself. I have to make it up to him, Din thought. He didn't know how. The usual ways he'd apologize to an employer, like taking a pay cut, wouldn't work with Fett. Din knew that now. He could... What? Ask for punishment? Fett won't go for that, I don't think. That was beyond friendship. That was whatever was growing between Din and Fett in the privacy of Fett's rooms. I'll figure something out, Din thought, pulling himself together. He'd find Fett and apologize. Make it clear that Din was only going to make sure that the covert in Mos Entha was okay, and to see if they knew what had happened to Din's tribe. He could fix this. Anxiety clawed at the bottom of his ribs. I want to fix this, Din realized, waiting for the lift to come back. In the past, when he'd had a disagreement with an employer, he just left. Most of the time, patching things up wasn't worth it. But this is worth it. Din was halfway down the hall, anxiousness rising, when his comm chimed. He frowned and pulled it out of his belt, activating the receiver, hoping it wasn't Kreese finally calling him back. Din didn't want to have that conversation with Fett either. But it wasn't Kreese. Luke Skywalker's face resolved itself in Din's hand. He had Grogu with him. As soon as the kid saw Din's helmeted face, he shrieked in delight. "Mr. Jarren," Skywalker said warmly. Din blinked and recovered himself. "Skywalker," he said, "what's wrong?" "Nothing's wrong," said the Jedi. He bounced Grogu in his arms a little, letting the kid lean close to the comm. "Grogu missed you is all. He's been fussy today, unfocused. I thought we'd give you a call, see if you were busy. Can you talk?" "For a little while," Din said, leaning back. Maybe giving Fett a bit of extra time to calm down would help. Maybe Din could use the time to come up with a plan. He slid down the wall until he was sitting, cross-legged, and peered at Grogu and Skywalker through the comm.
"Blah!"
Grogu called, ears perked. Din tugged off his helmet and managed to smile. "Hey, kid," he said softly. Grogu shrieked, delighted, and reached out. "Whoa, Grogu, easy," said Skywalker, shifting his hold on the kid. The image jostled for a moment, then resolved again. "It's a holoprojection, see? You can't actually touch it." Grogu's ears drooped, disappointed, but perked up again when Din chuckled. "Sorry, kid," he said. "I'll come visit soon, okay? Then you can claw at me all you want. If Master Skywalker's all right with it, of course," Din added, hastily, looking at Skywalker. Skywalker just smiled one of his serene little smiles. "You're welcome anytime," he said. "The younglings still talk about you. Grogu doesn't help, he just encourages them. He somehow managed to get the other younglings to understand that you've taken him flying with your jetpack before, and now it's all they talk about." Din rubbed the back of his neck. "Grogu's always liked it," he said. "Do all Mandalorians have jetpacks? The bounty hunter we ran into a few times during the war had one, too. He looked like you, except his armor was green." "Fett." Guilt jolted in Din's stomach. He'd told Fett about Skywalker, but he hadn't told Skywalker about Fett. "Some do," Din said. He avoided his thoughts, ignoring the bitter taste of a lie unsaid in the back of his mouth. He could balance his loyalty to Fett against his loyalty to Skywalker. He could. Fett was his employer, ally, friend, and more. Skywalker was caring for the kid, and the safety of the kid was the safety of the clan, the safety of the future. But Din didn't have a future as a Mandalorian anymore. He owed more loyalty to Fett than Skywalker. "I just have to make Fett understand that." It didn't matter that he liked Skywalker, that Skywalker was easier to get along with than Fett. No, Din thought, guilt spiking. That's not true. Skywalker was less complicated than Fett. For all that Din had been told that Mandalorians and Jedi were enemies, Skywalker wasn't an enemy. He was kind, level-headed. Fett was kind, too, in his own way, but he wasn't easy. "A lot of us were taught how to use a jetpack when we were kids," Din continued, determined to push past his guilt. "I didn't get mine until recently. They're made of Beskar, too, and Beskar is scarce these days. But most warriors are at least taught how to use them." "Beskar?" Din wrapped his chest plate gently, the vibration sweet and low. "Our armor," he said. "Is that why you all look the same? You have the same style of armor?" Grogu interjected with a high-pitched, "Bah!" and waved his arms. Skywalker patted his head absently. "We do," Din said. "Each set of armor, we call it Beskar Gam, is unique to the warrior, but there are common features." Skywalker cocked his head. "Like a lightsaber?" he asked. Din shrugged. He had only examined the darksaber up close, but from what he'd seen on Yavin 4, lightsabers had come in a variety of colors and styles. "Each lightsaber is unique to the Jedi who built it," Skywalker clarified. "There are common parts and pieces. They all use kyber crystals. Each one needs an emitter and a switch, that kind of thing. But no two lightsabers are exactly alike. Everyone adds something different based on their master or their fighting style." Din nodded. "Our Mandalorian armor is like that," he said, catching himself. He twisted a little to show Skywalker the Mudhorn sigil on his pauldron. "We have clan symbols, different attachments and features, different plate styles. I'm a hunter. I need enough armor to protect me from unruly targets, but not so much that my mobility is compromised." Din had tried out heavy plate once, when he'd been choosing which path to follow. He'd hated not being able to move. His current set of armor was a decent weight, but Beskar was lighter than Durasteel. Din had plenty of maneuverability. "The symbol on your shoulder," Skywalker said, leaning closer to the comm. "I've seen that before, in Grogu's memories. Is that..." "The mudhorn he lifted into the air with his mind about 2 days after I met him?" Din said dryly. "Yes." Skywalker shook his head. "The younglings scare me sometimes," he admitted, tone conspiratorial. "The things they can do with the Force. You remember Yulia?" "The little jumping Marilyn," Din nodded. "Yesterday she decided she wanted to be friends with the local wildlife," Skywalker said. "So she reached out with the Force and brought half a dozen crystal snakes into the crash. I thought Chase was going to explode." Din winced. He had never seen a crystal snake, whatever that was, but snakes were common across the galaxy, and many sentients, Paws included, weren't very fond of them. "Jedi can control animals?" he asked, interested. Grogu had never shown any talent for local wildlife, unless the talent was eating them. "Some Jedi," Skywalker said. "I'm not very good at it, but Cal is. Gungi, too. It's easier for the younglings because they don't have any idea of what their limitations are supposed to be yet. It can be dangerous for them. They can overextend themselves easily, but they can also do incredible things." Din thought of Grogu sleeping for days after lifting the Mudhorn, how tired he'd been after healing Karga on Navarro, and slowing down the flames the first time Gideon had tried to take Grogu away. "Be careful with Grogu," Din warned, mouth turning up. "He's predatory. If he figures out that he can control animals with his mind..." Skywalker grimaced. "Believe me," he said, "we're paying attention. Some of the things he's tried to put in his mouth..." They spent a pleasant hour or so like that, Din propped up against the wall, Skywalker with Grogu in his lap, exchanging updates. The kid was doing very well. He missed Din, apparently, and spent a lot of time watching Yavin Skies for the fly, but he got along with the other kids and took to lessons easily. Grogu apparently had his favorites. He loved Skywalker and only tolerated Kukruk, which made Din smile. But aside from killing that one bounty hunter, Grogu hadn't displayed any more troubling or violent behavior. It was nice, Din supposed, to be included. Din wasn't a Jedi, had no idea what being a Jedi meant or entailed, and hadn't expected to hear much from Skywalker while Grogu was trained. But it was nice to be involved. It wasn't the abrupt severance Din had expected, the neat divide between before the kid and after the kid. Din liked it. The kid liked it, too, if the way he grew more and more animated as the conversation went on was any indication. Grogu had never had a problem expressing himself to Din, but he was more vocal now than he'd ever been before. He wasn't talking yet, his noises still mostly nonsense, but his strings of sounds were getting longer and longer. "You will come to visit," Skywalker said, once Grogu finally trailed off and began to yawn mightily. Din nodded. "I don't know when," he said, dragging a hand through his hair. "I'm working a lot. Things here have picked up. But when I can, I'll come by for a day or two. Sometime in the next standard month or so?" "As you like," said Skywalker, amiable as always. You've got my frequency. If I'm not here, one of the others will be, and they all know you. You're welcome at any time. Grogu, say bye.
Bye,
said Grogu sleepily. Din smiled. He knew what to say now.
Retour chez moi,
he said, slowly and clearly, so the kid could understand and know that what Din was saying was important. Soon, okay?
Bah,
Grogu agreed, reaching out again. Skywalker waved, and the holo cut out, calm dimming. Din leaned back against the wall and sighed. He rubbed a spot on his chest plate absently, trying not to miss the kid too fiercely. I miss the early days. The first days on Sorgan, the days floating in the black, when it had just been Din and Grogu, and they'd been able to snatch some peace and quiet together. Din had polished his armor and cleaned his weapons, and the kid had played with repurposed bolts and toys made out of Sorgan's reeds. Things were easier then. Din hadn't had to worry about being Darmanda, about any quest other than his own. He'd only had to worry about keeping the kids safe and well-fed, about staying a step or two ahead of the Bounty Hunters Guild. Din snorted to himself. Hindsight, he thought. At the time, Din had barely been sleeping. He'd been on edge all of the time, always looking over his shoulder. It hadn't been very peaceful, aside from a snatched minute or two of quiet aboard the Crest. But at least I knew what my job was. It had been straightforward. Keep the kid safe. Now the kid was safe, or at least as safe as Din and Skywalker's combined efforts could make him, and Din was... what, he thought, a mercenary? It wasn't as if Din was doing anything much different from what he'd always done. He was hunting, guarding, serving his muscle. He'd always been paid to hunt. So, why is it different? What makes hunting for Fett any less honorable than hunting for the good of the covert? Nobody was depending on Din for food anymore, that was true. The Beskar Fett was paying Din with wasn't going to support foundlings or armor the tribe. It was sitting in a crate underneath Din's bed, waiting for a purpose. Is that it? Din wondered. A lack of purpose? His head hurt. He'd been doing well the last few weeks, but his headache had crept back in and throbbed at the base of his skull. The argument he'd had with Fett hadn't helped any. Well, Din thought bracingly, if they don't kill me, maybe the allure of the tribe in Mos Entha will have some insight. Din stood, pushing himself up off the wall and tugging his helmet back on. He made his way downstairs and pushed his thoughts aside, throwing himself into the work for the night. Fett's court was louder and busier than ever. The evening crowd was boisterous. Din didn't even get the time to talk to Fett. As soon as the throne room opened up to petitioners, Fett's attention was dominated by tradespeople and Tuskens and settlers and smugglers, each and every one of them trying to get in with Fett's now-established operation. Fett wouldn't look at Din anyway. Fennec noticed. Din saw her look between Fett and Din, a faint frown creasing her forehead. But even she couldn't make Fett acknowledge that Din was in the room. Fine, Din thought, retreating to the edges of the crowd. Take your time, then. I'm not going anywhere. He wasn't going to leave before he could talk to Fett. A covert wasn't moved overnight. Din had time. He could be patient. Din took up his usual spot beside the stairs, facing the throne, and let the chaos unfold. Fett wouldn't look at Din, but Din had no problem watching him. Din knew what his job was. He was supposed to stand between the stairs and the throne and catch anybody who came barreling down the steps with bad intentions. Court ran until the small hours of the morning, well after the suns had set and the moons risen. By the time most of the beings in the throne room had filtered away, Fett included, Din was tired enough to actually sleep. He collapsed into bed and didn't dream. Morning court was much the same, noisy and boisterous. Din did what he'd gotten used to and kept an eye on everything, though no threats resolved themselves and Fett himself didn't call Din over. Morning faded to afternoon, and afternoon faded to evening. Fennec hadn't joined Din for breakfast, so Din didn't even have to field her questions about the sudden chill between himself and Fett. Evening brought Din to Geeta, Nora's friend. Geeta was young. Din watched her while she went about the business of manning the bar. She couldn't have been older than 20. She moved with a dancer's grace and a dancer's attention to detail. She seemed level-headed enough, not the sort to invent enemies in the shadows, and she had some of the same sort of watchfulness that Vanth had. A slave's watchfulness, Den thought. Gita was always looking over her shoulder, always careful how she moved around others and how others moved around her. Her skin was a fine, pale orange, her eyes a clear blue, and the patterns tattooed into her leku were different than the ones tattooed on Nora's. Nora's leku were banded, each band made up of interlocking fine tattoos, almost like the filigree Din had seen in wealthy homes across the galaxy, while Gita's leku were patterned with graceful loops and swirls. Gita was also not very pleased to see Din lurking around the edge of the throne room. When Din finally made his way to the bar at the end of the night, skirting a band of drunk young men, Gita scowled. "You're expecting me, then," Din said, leaning against the bar. "Nora's meddling," said Gita. Despite her youth, her voice was throaty and rich. Her accent was all Tatooine. Many Twi'leks still carried a trace of Ryloth with them, but Gita spoke like a Mos Eisley native. Din smiled, even though Gita couldn't see it. "She suggested that you might need some help," he said. Gita scowled. "I can handle it. Zero and Theron have already looked. There is no one. I'm fine." Her leku shifted. "Nora seems to think otherwise," Din observed. He looked Gita up and down. He didn't doubt that she was fast and strong, but she didn't have the muscle definition that came from combat training, or the scars. Her strength would be the dancer's kind. She might be able to outrun a pursuer, but Din doubted that she'd be able to outfight one. Gita folded her arms across her chest. Her leku were still shifting restlessly. Din wondered what Gita was saying with them. Half of Ryl, the native language of Arlothian Twi'leks, was made up by the movements of the leku. Even if Gita had been born here on Tatooine, she probably spoke Ryl. Din could manage the spoken parts of the language, but the subtleties of leku movements were beyond him. "I don't need to bother the boss," Gita said, tone flat. Despite her bored tone, she darted a nervous glance over at Fett's throne and back. "This is just a small problem. He has other things to worry about." He'd want to worry about it, Din thought. Fett would want to know that one of his people didn't feel safe. And Gita felt unsafe. Din could see it in the way she stood, the way she tried to make herself seem smaller, more unobtrusive. But this was Gita's business, not Din's. She had reason to be afraid of Fett, if only by reputation. Crime bosses were dangerous. Din pushed his helmet against his face and sighed. "I won't say anything," he said. "And I'm not the boss. I can keep my mouth shut. But Nora asked me to make sure you made it home okay, and I told her I would. She's not going to be happy with me if I let you wander off on your own. Now, come on, let's get you home. The quarter, right?" Gita bared her teeth at Din, irritated, but didn't argue any further. She collected her things from behind the bar and left the room with cool dignity, pretending that Din didn't exist. Din didn't mind. He followed anyway, padding after her. Fett's people had their own way in and out of the palace. None of them had to use the enormous main doors unless they wanted to, and Gita apparently didn't want to. She took a side exit through a small, cramped hallway and marched over to a battered landspeeder, which she climbed into and powered up without waiting for Din. Din smiled again, a bit fond of Gita despite himself. After talking with Nora, he'd expected this sort of thing from Gita and had his own borrowed bark ready with the rest of the speeders. Gita shot him a poisonous look when Din swung a leg over his own speeder, which Din ignored. The ride across the sands to Mos Eisley was easy. Din stayed close, just off Gita's flank, visor switched to thermal imaging and gaze sweeping the dunes. The desert was calm and quiet. It was never still. Animals darted between the dunes, the wind moved the sand, insects buzzed, but it was quiet. Din didn't pick a watcher or a stalker out. Mos Eisley wasn't quite as calm or quiet. Despite the hour, the city still twitched and stirred, never quite asleep. Din stayed with Gita all the way to the quarter. As they went and no threatening shadow emerged, her fierce scowl in Din's direction softened. Din couldn't say for sure if his presence was a deterrent to whoever'd been bothering her. One night didn't prove anything, but Gita relaxed the closer they got to the quarter. Din had questions for her, but he figured that he had time to ask them. He wanted Gita to get used to him first. Once they made it to the quarter, Din could feel other eyes on him. He never caught anyone looking at him directly, but his visor caught movement around corners in doorways. She should be safe here, Din thought. If he could make sure that Gita made it to the quarter every night, she'd be fine. It would be hard for anyone looking to hurt her to manage violence in the quarter. These were Gita's people. They were watching out for her. "Are you going to do this every night?" Gita finally asked, when she'd made it to a small white hut surrounded on all sides by other small white huts. She killed her speeder and looked at Dan, who tilted his helmet in her direction. "See you tomorrow," he said. She groaned, but didn't argue, which told Din that she was more relieved to have him around than she wanted to admit. Fennec and Nura said that she was scared, he thought, waiting until Gita had made it safely inside before powering up his bark again and turning back the way he came. She doesn't want to admit it, doesn't want to make a problem for Fett, but she's afraid. Afraid of what, though? Din hadn't seen anyone in the desert. As he left the quarter, he paid attention to who was watching him and where they were doing it, but no one stuck out to him as unusual or an outsider. Din did a sweep of the surrounding sand dunes, too, kicking his speeder down into its lowest, quietest setting so he could search for any stakeout points or hiding places that would give someone looking to see who was coming and going from the palace a good view. He found a few spots. A hollow in a sandy rock, a ridge high up off the desert road. But nothing Din found looked like it had been used recently. No one else was out in the desert. Maybe whoever's been bothering Gita will get the message now, Din thought. But he doubted it. The sight of a Mandalorian in full Beskar might have scared her stalker off tonight, but Din doubted that whoever it was would stay away for long. He made his way back to the palace, scanning the horizon for threats. The only thing he saw was a small herd of Bantha moving across the sands. Din stowed his speeder and slipped into the palace from the back, nodding at the night guards, a pair of humans who'd started a week or so ago and seemed competent enough. Din avoided the throne room and the hall to his own room both. He wanted to give Fett a little more time to calm down and didn't particularly feel like getting ambushed either. He swung down past the training rooms and past the kitchen, too. Below the kitchens were the dungeons, the tunnels under the palace where Jabba had stashed all of his treasure before he'd forgotten about it all. There wasn't much down there. Din wandered around for a while, adding on to his mental map of the palace, finding good points to defend if the palace was attacked, to escape if the palace was ever overrun, but he ran out of tunnels eventually and had to turn back around. I'll find him in the morning, Din told himself, determined. He'd catch Fett before morning court. He could still get into Fett's rooms if he had to. But he didn't have to. Din was on his way back from the depths of the palace, walking past the kitchens, when a rough voice called out, Jaren? And Din stopped. He found me, Din thought. Fett was sitting at a stool in the kitchens, the marks of a sleepless night pressed underneath his eyes. There was a plate by his elbow, mostly untouched. He had a datapad. He wasn't wearing any armor at all. Din took a step towards him, but hesitated in the doorway. That was fast, Fett remarked, pushing his plate aside. You get run out of Mos Entha? What? Oh, Din said, understanding. No, I haven't left yet. Fett frowned. Your speeder was gone, he said. I was in Mos Eisley, Din said. I had business in the quarter. That wasn't a lie. Fett's expression cleared a little anyway, as Din had known it would. Fett thought that Din was getting himself involved in Vance Network. Ah, said Fett. He closed his eyes for a minute and seemed to force himself to soften, shoulders slumping. How's Mos Eisley, then? Quiet enough for Mos Eisley, Din said. He stayed in the doorway, unsure if he was still welcome or not. Fett noticed. He shook his head, grimacing, and leaned back in his chair. Come in, he said. I won't bite. I'm not angry with you, Jaren. Din eyed him warily. You didn't do anything wrong, said Fett. My temper is my own problem, not yours. I was out of line yesterday, I'm sorry. Please, come in. This time Din obeyed, mostly because he'd never heard Fett say please before. It caught him by surprise and overrode the rest of Din's common sense. He couldn't help but listen, crossing the threshold and stepping into the kitchen's comfortable, familiar warmth. Fett looked Din up and down. I am sorry. Niparavu tekisit. I was out of line. I wasn't planning to bring the others back here, Din said, because that was what he wanted Fett to understand the most. The thought hadn't even crossed his mind. He'd known already that Fett didn't get along with most other Mandalorians. The last thing Din wanted was to find himself stuck standing between the tribe and Fett. I just needed to check, is all. I need to know. Know what? If they're even there, said Din. The conversation felt lopsided, uneven. Fett was sitting down, face bare, and Din was standing with his helmet on and his hands curled at his side. He made himself take off his helmet to even the conversation, to put them both on equal footing. Do you know them? Din shook his head, then paused. I don't know, he said. It might be my tribe, what's left of my tribe, but it might be another tribe, too. The coverts, we knew each other a little. Warriors moved around sometimes, went to live with different coverts to make sure everyone had enough fighters and hunters to provide for the kids. Fett frowned. You don't know where your people are. Din shook his head, not sure why Fett was surprised. If Din had known where to find his covert, he wouldn't have needed Kreese's help to take the kid back from Moff Gideon. He wouldn't have needed Fett's help, either. We were separated on Navarro, Din explained. I stole the kid back from the imps, and the covert had to blow its cover to help us. They saved me. Probably saved the kid, too. Last I heard, Paz, one of my brothers, said that they were going to move the covert, but when I made it back to Navarro, it was... Din trailed off, grief tight in his throat. They didn't manage to move fast enough, Fett finished, quietly. Din shook his head. The imps were faster, he said. Any survive? Our Alor. She said some of the others made it out. The foundlings, a few warriors. But she didn't know where they'd gone. She'd stayed behind to honor the dead. I was looking for whoever's left, or at least for another covert, before we ran into Kreese. She didn't know either? Din shook his head. Her people aren't mine, he said. Fett snorted. Fair. If these others in Mosentha aren't your tribe, can they at least help you find what's left of yours? Yes, said Din. We keep a network of coverts. The allure of one usually knows of at least two or three others. That way we can spread the warriors out, share resources. Makes sense. So I'm going, Din said, watching Fett's expression. He'd already told Fett that he was going to go looking, but he wanted Fett, absurdly, to understand. To know that this wasn't Din going over to the enemy, that it wasn't just idle curiosity or boredom. Din had to go. He had to look. He had to at least know. Fett held up his hands tiredly. You don't need my permission, he said, an echo of their earlier argument. But this time when he said it, it was just resigned. You're your own man. You don't owe me anything. I'm sorry if I made you feel like you did. And I... Fett stopped, frustrated, and shook his head. I'm a bit of a crate dragon, he finally said. Jealous. I shouldn't be. You're a good man. An honorable man. Your time is yours. Your honor, too. Sounds like you think you owe some to your tribe. They saved my life, Din said quietly. Grogu's, too. Mine 100 times. Yeah, Fett murmured, a strange expression on his face, a faraway look in his eyes. I get it. Aranov, Elite. When are you leaving? Din hesitated. He'd only understood Elite, clan. The other word, Aranov, wasn't one Fett had said before. Soon, he said. But I didn't want to leave without... I didn't want to leave after we'd argued. Felt too much like running away. Fett huffed. You don't run away, do you? When I need to run to survive, Din returned, tone even. He'd done his fair share of running from the guild and from the imps, but that had been to keep the kid safe. From an argument with a friend, though, no. I figured we'd wrestle it out, honestly. Fett chuckled, lightening at last. Maybe when you get back, he said, lifting his eyebrows. Could be fun, Jaren. When I get back, Din agreed. Be careful, in Mos Entha, Jaren, Fett warned. He still didn't look happy, but he wasn't angry anymore. If something happens, I can't help you. Valerian might not be my enemy, but she's not my friend either. Mos Entha's hers. I don't have any pull there. I know, said Din. I'll be fine. You be careful. Keep an eye on the sands. I don't like how quiet the huts have been, Fett. It makes me nervous. Boba, said Fett. Din snapped his attention back to Fett's face, surprised. The look in his dark eyes cut Din down to the bone. Call me Boba. It wasn't an order. But Din nodded anyway, unable to stop himself, and said, quietly, Boba. Fett's, Boba's, expression wavered. Din had to look away, carefully, setting his gaze at the edge of Fett's jaw. Din swallowed. He made himself uncurl his hands. My name is Din, he said. Din Djarin. Boba's expression flickered again. Din couldn't parse it, not without looking Boba in the eye, and he wasn't sure he'd be able to manage that. Din, Boba repeated, softly. Din saw the shape of it in Boba's mouth and relaxed. His name didn't sound as strange coming from another person as he'd thought it would have. Boba must have seen something on Din's face, though, because he pulled away a little, a tiny frown creasing his forehead. Does it bother you? He asked. I know my father's people never cared much about their secrets, their names, and their faces, but I know that there were others, other clans, who kept things like that to themselves. Din thought about it for a moment. He tried not to sway back into Fett's base like an animal asking for affection, but it was hard. Din's mouth was very dry. No, he said, after turning it over in his hands. He risked another look at Boba's face and tried not to feel pinned by the intensity of his gaze. No, it doesn't. I'm just not used to it, Din tried to explain, sheepish. He ran a hand through his hair. It's been a long time since anybody's called me that. Din, I mean. Din, said Boba again, almost immediately. He said it with such intent that Din couldn't help but flush, embarrassed and not really sure why. All right, Din grumbled, shaking his head a little. Don't push it. Boba laughed. You sure you don't mind? Can always keep calling you Jaren. Or Mando, if that's what you're used to. No, said Din. He looked down at the helmet in his hands, at the smooth, expressionless face. I don't mind. Just because Din wasn't used to hearing his name didn't mean that it was wrong, that it was bad. It was just different. A lot of things involving Boba Fett are different, Din thought, wry. But still, he didn't mind. Be careful, then, said Boba. Be safe. Come back when you're finished. We can wrestle. You can kick my shoves around. Din smiled at that. He doubted it. Din had the feeling that he and Fett were pretty evenly matched. All right, he said. I will.